Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
La Machina, the machine, DJ LeMayu. Just when you're ready to get this guy out of your sight, just when you're looking at him pinch hit on Friday night, fly out, and then go 0 for the next day, and the Yankees get pummeled 18-2. You're like, what is the point of DJ LeMayu, bro? He was batting 179, bro. Why do we keep doing this? Why do the Yankees keep on doing this? Then he was batting 171. He worked a couple walks, but it was in a game where, like I said, they lost by 16. And then, you know, then the machine turns back on. You know, broken machine is right at least 2 times a day, something like that. DJ is good for one of those, I think, a month. And that's good enough for the Yankees to justify playing DJ LeMayu. And good, I welcome it. I'm rooting for the guy. I just don't believe in the guy. But like what I saw last night, I'm like, yo, this is the guy that we could depend on. The guy that got the nickname The Machine because he was automatic, systematic with runners in scoring position. Can he be this? He raised his average to 239. Can he be this more times than not with Jazz coming back to play third base because he's there? DJ LeMayu, my big shot of the night. Honorable mention, Ryan Yarbrough. Honorable mention, Ben Rice. And then even Peraza, I'll give some love to because Peraza did come through with a knock and a ribby. And the Yankees didn't get swept. They are 4-0. When facing a sweep, I like that. Like, it's hard to, you know, go on the road and face a team like the Dodgers and not completely fold. Same thing with the Tigers, right? They almost got swept by the Tigers. Who else was it? I'm off the top of my head. The Diamondbacks had came to Yankee Stadium, and that's when, you know, Stanton told the team, we don't get swept. They haven't gotten swept. They've stood up for themselves with that embarrassment pending. And, yeah, they didn't get swept. I'm trying to see where else it was. What was the other potential sweep? I think you'd have to go back to April. No, I don't see it. I did see the stat, though. The stat came up yesterday that they were 3-0 and they made it 4-0. Oh, the Guardians. And that's my segue into the Guardian series. How has Emmanuel Clase been? Because if you remember, the Yankees lost those first 2 games against the Guardians, and then they won that last game to avoid the sweep, but they kept Class A away from the Yankees. Class A got exposed in the ALCS last year. Let me go take a look and see how Class A has been, because back then, you know, early on in the season, they were trying to find a soft landing spot for him. He had lost the closer role. We did not even see him in that entire series because they were shooketh of, you know, some PTSD, some old wounds being reopened. And now, right, and around that time, too, Devin Williams was struggling. And the narrative was, hey, like, this is happening in baseball. You know, some of the best relievers in baseball haven't been so great. So let's see. Emmanuel Clase earns the save yesterday. He's back. Emmanuel Clase seals the comeback when he's back to doing what he does. And if I look at his last seven games, 1.35 ERA, four saves, only giving up three. Yep, Clase is back. Clase is back. So it'll be Clase and Devin Williams facing off. And we'll see that in Yankee Stadium. The weather is going to be great. It's going to be hot. I'm saying that I'm not going to go to the game until Friday, but I know I'm probably going to end up going to one of these games. I want to stay home. I want to give my wife a break, and I want to be with my son. I love my son. Like, he has gotten to the point now where he is not so much a baby, where, like, I'm looking in his eyes. I could tell he's understanding things. He can speak, and he's a daddy's boy for sure. I called my wife the other day, and she had me on speaker, and I was like, can he hear me? And he said, hi, Dada. And then after he said, hi, Dada, he was saying, more Dada, more Dada. And he didn't realize that my wife was driving up to meet me. He just wanted to see his dad more. So I've been running. I've been grinding. I've been doing events. I've been going to games. I was throwing out the first pitch. I was doing all this stuff. And then even working the night shift, like tonight, I leave the house. I don't get to do the dinner time, bath time, story time, bedtime routine. But I'm trying to do that. I'm definitely doing it tomorrow, but I'm trying to do that tomorrow, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, and then Friday go to the Red Sox series. But I don't know. That'll probably change. My wife doesn't care. She cares. But my wife understands, like, I got to this point by being me. I got to this point by going to games. I got to this point by being out and doing and shaking hands and meeting people and talking to people. So she's like, go. But, like, I'm selfishly like, no, I want my one-on-one time with my son. I want to be able to do, daddy type of things. You guys will get there one day that don't have kids. And the older people that are listening that do have kids, or no, you don't even have to be older. There was a kid today. This kid pulled the car today. Shout out to Hector and Latino Sports who were at the career fair today. This kid pulled a card. It was an NBA card from 1992. And he said something like, damn, this card is older than my dad. I was like, yeah, your dad is younger than me, and he's got a 12-year-old kid. Interesting. 888-808-1019. You can have a kid at any time. I waited. I had to wait. One, because I always been popped. I always been broke, and I just didn't want – I didn't want to have a kid, and I didn't want my kid to struggle. I didn't want to have a kid and bring him into – even my wife and I's early struggles. Like, I've been broke as a kid. I've been broke as a college student. And I've been broke as a grown man after college. So I was like, I got to wait until I at least feel like, I can provide for my kid. So I'm there now. And we'll get back to the phones now. But you gotta put in a dose of reality and life and things into the show as well. And I'll always continue to do that. And I'll always continue to give you takes and thoughts and good sports talk as well. It's open mic time. It's wide open for calls. Whatever you guys want to talk about to close the night. We're obviously talking about the Yankees. We're watching the Met game. 1-0. Nobody has scored since the Lindor homer. Bottom of the fourth here. Blackburn looks fine to me. 46 pitches in. He hasn't given up anything. And the Dodgers are quiet again. I don't know how long it'll last. Hopefully that's not a announcer's jinx. Let's get back to the phones. Steve is in Scarsdale on the fan. What's up, Steve?
Keith, I love your show, man. And I got two things for you. Okay. I got one thing on the Yankees, and I got one thing as a dad.
Okay.
So first off, you got to start with the dad, because I feel you, and I got two daughters. Best thing I ever did was I would read to them. I read every single Harry Potter and so many other books.
Yeah, you got to read the books. Thing I ever did in my life. Yes, because it'll make them naturally want to read, and there's so much you can learn, and reading books, it just helps you, yes.
And read the Knuffle Bunnies with them. You'll get a good laugh yourself. That's like a good one for the young kids. All right, and then on the Yankees. I will tell you, I'm a first-time, long-time. I have never called in because I have never been more outraged with a decision by any, Yankee manager, Nick, fans of all the sports, as Aaron Boone in an 18-2 game. he burns his two best relief pitchers, Williams and Rulant Weaver, losing by 16 runs. And that's why Weaver's hurt. That's why, you know, he pitched them 7 times in 10 nights. And you don't know when a guy's going to, you know, have too much. But obviously he had too much. Reminds you of the Joe Torre days. And aren't they supposed to be doing all these freaking analytics where they should know that you don't pitch a guy in a game you're going to lose anyway? You're losing by 16 runs. What's the good of all these analytics if you're going to be hurting your pitchers on a game you're 100% guaranteed to lose? It makes absolutely no sense. And I can't believe Boone's not getting killed more over this.
Yeah, you know what it is? A lot of people weren't watching at that point in time. Thanks for the call, Steve. I didn't see him pitch. I saw it in the box score, and I think Weaver got hurt warming up. Did he get hurt Saturday? No, it was Sunday. But he pitched Saturday, and this is what I'll say about Boone with Weaver. He has been a little reckless with using Weaver after not going straight to Weaver. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know the exact games, but if you're a Yankee fan and you're watching these games, there were some games where we're like, yo, stop playing around. Like, go to Weaver. Don't go to, De Los Santos or, you know, I don't know, anybody else that you're trying to get these outs from instead of just using your closer. And then he'll get Weaver up for a couple pitches and Weaver will do the job. But, like, man, this started when he pitched him in Colorado and then he pitched him in that first game of the Angels and then he pitched him in the Saturday game, which that game was lost. And, like, I don't understand I get it's certain guys' days to throw, but your best guys, they don't need to throw in that game that's lost. Have them be ready to throw in the Sunday night baseball game, avoiding the sweep. And then Pablo Reyes is the last guy to pitch. I don't know, man. Yeah, Boone's not getting killed for it because a lot of us weren't watching. A lot of us were watching the Knick game. We were already off that. And then when you do come back and you see Weaver through one inning, one hit, gave up one run, one home run, it's like, okay, what happened there? But I don't know. Boone's not getting killed for it. But now it's going to be a topic of conversation because the guy is hurt. And is he hurt for overusage? Maybe. What I think is that, like, they got a little reckless with how they used him. And it makes no sense because they were not, it was like they were trying to shield him. And I go back to last year with Clay Holmes. And I vividly remember that Milwaukee Brewers series where they ended up losing a game on with Michael Tonkin on the mound. And I think it was in 10 innings. And the way they tried to justify pitching Michael Tonkin, who landed at 2 a.m. that day, didn't even know his teammates' names. They said, oh, it's a long season. We don't want to burn Clay Holmes out. Well, Clay Holmes didn't even end up being your closer in that long season. So what are you talking about, burning him out? And if I remember correctly, that series was in like May. Let me go back into it. So I don't know. Sometimes the math ain't mathing. Things aren't adding up. And I know the Yankees are always the smartest guys in the room, but sometimes they do things that make you scratch your head. And then it's like how do they justify it? How did they tell you? I don't know. Maybe that wasn't even, was that even, that was in April, bro. That series was April 26th through 27th. They lost that game on April 26th, 7-6. Clay Holmes, you know what it was? I think Clay Holmes had threw like a low amount of pitches the game before. Oh, no. Clay Holmes only threw a certain, I'm going his box score. Clay Holmes threw how many pitches here?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clay Holmes threw 10 pitches, and they didn't bring him back out, and they put Michael Tonkin out there. And they justified, oh, we don't want to burn him out. 10 pitches? Keep him in there to win the game versus putting a guy in there that just put the uniform on for the first time that day. I don't know, man. They're smarter than me. I don't know anything. I watch like you guys do. I answer the phones. I talk about this stuff. But yeah, right now the Yankees are down Luke Weaver. And if you want to be mad about it, point to his usage. If you want to be mad about it, go look at his game log and go look at how he has been used. He didn't need to pitch Saturday at all. That game was gone, lost. It wasn't a situation to use your closer. And then the way he was used recently as far as pitching back-to-back days on the 25th in Colorado, the 26th in L.A., and I'm pretty sure that in L.A., if I go back, that wasn't a situation where we needed him because they were up in that game. Weren't they up like 4-0? It wasn't a save situation on Monday, May 26th. It's too many games. Monday, May 26th, 5-1 Yankees win. I don't know, man. Now you don't have the guy. So now you got to figure out Devin Williams, Jonathan Loaisiga, Fernando Cruz, Mark Leiter Jr., and whenever Jake Cousins gets back, maybe he can be an option because Weaver is down for 4 to 6 weeks. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls on anything in the wide world of sports. I got to go back to the live chat because I know I threw out for the live chat what happened today in sports. The live chat is going, man. We got almost 1,400 people in the live chat. And these are like real sport fans that know all these sports. Some of them, I'm sure, are smarter than me. They're talking amongst themselves. I can't even keep up with the chat. I got to go back to the chat and see what type of extra conversations they wanted me to bring to the table before I get out of here. Let's go back to the phone. Gunner is in Paramus, New Jersey. What's up, Gunner? You got it.
How's it going, Keith? First time, long time. Big Devils fan. Not super invested in the Knicks, but I think they just have to get deeper. Like even the Jordan and LeBron teams that won championships had prominent role players.
Yeah, I'm with you. Shout out to the Devils. Unfortunate year for the Devils. But when the Devils folded and lost, we didn't talk about them and act like, you know, make excuses for them. They didn't have it. They should have had it. They had that last game. Anyway, I won't go on the Devils tangent. Let's go Oilers, though. Let's go Oilers.
Yeah, I'd like to see McDavid get one. But, like, long-term for the Knicks, I don't think they can do anything with all the picks they gave away for Bridges. They're kind of stuck.
Right, so you do what you can do with the guy that you got. That's why earlier in the show I was like, you bought him. He's yours. You're not trading him for anything. You're not getting rid of him. You're paying him. See if he'll take less and build a better team. Same with Kat. You gave up Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle to get him. You're not getting rid of him. They have to have a deeper bench, and they do have to have add another starting player to this team. I don't know who it is, but they need to add another big. And it, like Mitchell Robinson should be coming off the bench because he can't shoot, he can't score. They need a scoring, shooting, defending big man that can play alongside Cat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All the best, Keith. Keep it up.
Ding, ding, ding. Thanks for the first call. I need a sound effect that I could hit when I get these first calls. Ding, ding, ding was my thing for a little while, but I don't want to do the ding, ding, ding. I want something that goes off. Ding, ding, ding. But, you know, these are my Mets. That'll be my sound effect when I get a... When I get a first time call, these are
my. So, what did he deliver for me to the Jet fan? 2 years of misery.
That kid was hilarious. What was that kid's name? I'm sure you saved it as his name.
Jonah.
Jonah.
Young Jonah.
That's what the Jets do to these fans in the tri-state area, the kids. Aaron Rodgers, what did he deliver me? 2 years of misery.
Can you imagine as a kid, as a Jets fan, and he's like 8 years old, what does he deliver to me? He's eight. Wait, what the hell does he know about that? It's crazy.
As a Cowboys fan, like I used to be, now I'm a free agent, Aaron Rodgers delivered me 2 years of misery. Aaron Rodgers delivered that Jared Cook pass down the sideline to beat Dak and Zeke in Dallas. Was that 2016? I'm like, no. He beat Romo and Dez. The Dez caught an ear. No. Dez did catch it. Yeah, he delivered me 2 years of misery as well. I can relate. Young Jonah didn't even see much of Aaron Rodgers. He didn't barely remember Aaron Rodgers in those years. I can't wait till football gets back. I was saying in the chat, I'm like, I can't wait till we have actual football to talk about. That'll be in like a month and a half once they start, you know, showing up to camp and whatnot. We'll be sweating Justin Fields. Is he the guy? Isn't he the guy? We'll also, the clock has started. Jackson Dart is signed. The future is now. And I know a lot of you are going to want to rush him onto the field. I say don't. Let Russell Wilson absolutely burn out, flame out, and then when he does, Jameis Winston, and do not rush this kid. This is it. For Dable, Shane, you traded back in to get this kid. Do not screw him up. Develop him. And all the like signs, like this guy, I think he's got the moxie. I think he's got the swag. He's got the look. He's a, you know, and he seems to be bought in on Dable and how Dable's coaching him up. Don't ruin this kid. Let this kid become, and you might actually have your quarterback of the future with the Giants. 888-808-1019. You thought you had the running back of the future, and you didn't pay him, but that's in the past, you know. That's paving the way for the team that you have now. Joe is on Long Beach, or in Long Beach. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Yeah, that brings you right to my point. I can't believe that Joe Shane let Saquon Barkley in his prime walk away to the heated Philadelphia Eagles. And now I got to go into GameStop and see a poster of your man Saquon hurling a person. They're probably going to have to create a new button to even do that. And, you know, be reminded of that mistake. He'll never live that up. I can't wait till he gets fired and we can move on from the Joe Shane era. Just not a big excited about this upcoming season. We have the hardest NFL schedule. I mean, a carousel at quarterbacks. Yeah, Dart, he could be, he could not be, you know. But ultimately, I'm just bummed out about Shane and everything he did last year, man.
Heard you. And I understand. Thanks for the call, Joe. I talked about that for weeks, months. I talked about it through the whole season. Also, you know, formerly being a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm like, you don't let the Eagles get that guy. You don't hand the Eagles a Super Bowl by getting that guy. He was the difference. You don't, like, pay him. You pay Daniel. I don't know. They will never get over that. The only way they get over that is if this, you know, I don't see them winning this year, but, like, if this regime can somehow get back to the playoffs and win in the near future, and if Jackson Dart is really the guy, it happens. Like, I'm looking right now. I saw earlier Bleacher Report had Saquon hit his iconic reverse huddle for the Madden cover. And, like, they have Saquon, you know, in the studio jumping over a fake Jacksonville Jaguar and doing his hurdle. And that's going to be on the cover of Madden, Super Bowl champion. That's a guy you drafted. Saquon Barkley, no matter what, that's a guy that you never put the right offensive line in front of, never got the most of, out of, and yeah, man, sucks. But like that Eagles championship, like the Eagles, I don't think they win that without Saquon, and he's not going anywhere. You got to face him still. So like that's another reason why you won't live it down, because you got to face him twice a year. And they called the dogs off twice on y'all. The first one, they asked Saquon, hey, you want to go get the record? And he spared the Giants. He didn't go get the record on Giants. He said, nah, let the young boys eat. And then the last game, he didn't play. I got to pull up this Giants schedule now. You're going to have to see Saquon and the Eagles this year. Let's see, Giants. We'll get to that. I want to get to the phone, so I'm gonna pull up the Giants schedule. Somebody said to do that today. They're like, I was like, how do I force the Giants and Jets conversation so we don't have to just talk about the Knicks and this misery and get rid of this guy and get Giannis and fire this guy? I'm like, how do we? And they're like, oh, do the schedule. Go through the schedule week by week and pick out the winners and losers. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. That never ages well. But we will look at when you're gonna face Saquon. I'll do it right now. It's because it just got in front of me. Would you look at this? This is going to be a bad three-week span. Week 6, October 9th, 8:15 p.m. So that's a Thursday night football game for the world to see. It's Saquon coming back to MetLife Stadium. He's going to be fresh and ready to go. You're going to have to deal with that. And then just 2 weeks later, Sunday at 1 o'clock in Philly, you're gonna have to deal with Saquon in the middle of the season. Congrats, Josh is in the Bronx. Josh is on the fan. What's up, Josh?
What a segue, Keith. You know what night was my birthday of October? Thursday night. Saquon Barkley won a birthday present.
Perfect timing.
That is awesome, baby. Keep on talking, baby. It's all yours.
Josh is his, I mean, he must have been calling. So I had a Saquon call, and the next one was Giants, and he must have been calling to say, you know, well, first time we see Saquon this year, and obviously Saquon is in the news. He's going to be on the Madden cover. First time we see Saquon this year is on my birthday. That's Josh calling in October 9th. Interesting. I don't know, man. I get it. In this league, you don't value running backs. But I talked about it a ton with Saquon Barkley, that he's the right type of guy that you pay. He's just the right type of player that you pay, and it wasn't that much money. I think we looked at the money that Slayton got, and we're like, that was Saquon type money. They didn't want to pay him. Their theory, Joe Shane's theory, was we're not going to pay this guy because we don't want to pay this guy, and we want to go in a different direction, and we'll see where that direction gets him. In the first year of him going to the Eagles, they won the Super Bowl. Moving on, Tony is in Colonia on the fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith? I want to ask you, though. Saquon Barkley, you say it's a big mistake. I'm not crazy he went to the Eagles, but if Shane had kept him, what good would it be? What good would it have done? What do you think the outcome would be? By the time the Giants are ready to compete for a Super Bowl, he wouldn't be any good. What was the point? I mean, keeping him was useless. I get it. I mean, I don't like he went to the Eagles, but why? I mean, what was he supposed to do?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Thanks for the call, Tony. Daniel Jones, your quarterback, the quarterback's best friend is a good running back. Daniel Jones' best season was when he had Saquon next to him going off, where he had Saquon to hand the ball to get a first down, third down, move the chains, a two-point conversion. Daniel Jones would have been better having Saquon in the backfield and not a rookie in Tyrone Tracy fumbling the football and Devin Singletary being cooked. So what would it have done? It would have kept some fans happy, and maybe you win some of those games that were close, that like Joe Shane talked about in the beginning of the season, or not like in the middle of the season, like, well, we're not getting blown out. Some of the games are cold. Maybe Saquon would be the difference. But no, that's what you got to tell yourself now. You have to tell yourself now, it wasn't right for us to pay him. No, that's your guy you drafted. It would have been right. All would have been right in the world if you paid Saquon and the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl. Maybe the Knicks would have won the finals. Maybe they would have won the Eastern Conference Finals.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If the universe wasn't flipped by Saquon going to Philly, he wasn't supposed to wear that Eagles green. You could have stopped that. You could have stopped that. All right, let's break here so that we can come back and get the rest of these calls in. I'm getting a lot of different calls now because now we've gone from the Yankees and Luke Weaver, and now the Mets have scored another run. They're doing what they got to do. I thought Lindor had homered. It was warning track power. And then Brandon Nimmo hit a ground rule double, and that scored Jeff McNeil. So it's 2-0 Mets in the bottom of the fifth, one out. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take this break and we'll be right back. Big Mac is coming up next. Big Mac must have been driving in. He was listening to my show. I always appreciate when I'm listening to Big Mac's show and he'll say, well, I was listening to Keith's show and I heard a caller and I was listening to Keith say, or, you know, I was like, okay, well, Big Mac texts me and the caller that we had that, you know, his pain point was Boone pitching Warren on Saturday, and I kept it funky with you. By the time Warren was in the game, I was not watching that game. I saw it in the box score, like, oh, he gave up a homer. I still don't know who hit the homer off him. I was not on that. I was watching the Knick game and fully in the bar and trench with all the New York fans in Brooklyn in that. But Big Mac said Warren came out with one out in the second. Like, I saw that. That's how I knew we were cooked, too. We went to Hedrick. He said, look at the box score. Everyone pitched and was bad, threw tons of pitches. Can't go to position player till the ninth. Should he have let other arms fall off to avoid Weaver? He didn't pitch Friday and was off Monday. And I'm like, I would have need to seen the bullpen budget. Like, I wish there was a way, like, Yes Network, steal this from me. I don't use the Gotham Sports app, but in the Gotham Sports app, you should be able to tap and hit the bullpen budget. But I was like, I would need to have seen the bullpen budget. I would need to see the bullpen budget. I said, I'm sure in the flow of the game, it seemed fine to get him some work. Like, that's what the Yankees and Boone will say. Like, oh, you know, we needed to get him some work. But I'm like, since he got hurt the next day, it's going to be a caller's topic and a pain point of why did Boone pitch him in a blowout? Because now he's out. The last appearance he made was that appearance. He gave up a homer. But then I also made a point to say, from what we read, he wasn't hurt Saturday. He got hurt warming up Sunday. It is what it is. His hammy was going to go. And that's what happens with hammies. It's like, I mean, I don't know his warm-up. Usually you pull a hammy in a sprint running. But whatever, yo, it is what it is. It's not Boone's fault. It's not Boone's fault. But I know Big Mac will come in and defend Boone, as he does so eloquently. He said, of course, every loss is on him. Might as well throw injuries in there. It's amazing. Williams avoided injury pitching in such a dangerous situation.
Yeah, if you actually didn't know, it was Aaron Boone's fault that Aaron Judge got hurt last year. He should have known about the concrete slab in the wall at Dodger Stadium
2 years ago.
He should have taken him out. Because that's clearly Aaron Boone's fault that Aaron Judge didn't know there was a concrete
sued.
Slab.
I don't know why. I still don't know why the Yankees didn't sue them for that. I would have sued. I would have needed something for that. But yeah, here we go. 888-808-1019. Brian is in West Palm on the Fan. What's up, Brian?
You ask somebody who watches all the Yankee games. You know I'm not an Aaron Boone fan. I think I'm going to put some blame on Aaron Boone. I think in-game, I would give him like a C-minus. He uses Luke Weaver on that road trip in Anaheim. They didn't have to use him. I think the Yankees will win in like 4-0. I think he overuses Luke Weaver, and he should be using him in just save, a crucial save positions. You know what I'm saying? I'm not an in-game Aaron Boone fan, and I watch all the games. I haven't missed a game this season. You know I'm a big Yankees fan. I went to FSU.
Yeah, and we had the conversation about the usage in that first Angels game and using him back-to-back days, and that's what I was saying before. I'm like, this led up to this.
I don't like Aaron Boone. Even last year we went to the World Series. There's so many times Aaron Boone is screwed up. He just, I don't know. I think he listens to the analytical department up in the press box. He's too much. You can see him with cheats during the game. If you watch the Yes games, they put the camera on. He's looking over at his assistant coach, is looking at printouts. He's too. You get a feel for a game. I have a feel for it. I don't need a computer or a printout from the analytical department. You know, you get a feeling for a game. You get a feeling for like a first and second. The Yankees have first. And
I don't know how you're going to feel, Brian, but he's going to have to navigate this whole Devin Williams, Mark Leiter Jr., Fernando Cruz, Loaiza situation.
I like Cruz a lot. I'm not a Devin Williams fan. I like Cruz. I like Cruz a lot. They have a kid in Scranton that's pitching. Came back from injury. I can't think of his name. He's a righty, and they could use him for he throws like mid-90s, you know, 95, 96. I can't think. He was injured, but if you look at when you get off the AR, go on a computer and look at
Scranton's closer.
Scranton Rail Riders. They got him in a trade a couple of years ago, and I can't think of it. Maybe Clayton Beater. Maybe that's his name. Clayton Beater.
Oh, was Clayton Beater closing games for them?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They were using him in situations like eighth and ninth inning.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for the call, Brian. Yeah, I don't know, man. It just. When it doesn't, again, like similar with the Knicks, when it doesn't go right, someone's to blame. Someone has to be the guy we point the finger to, like, and say, yo, that's him. That's his fault. It's Boone's fault. If Weaver doesn't get hurt, we don't think anything about him pitching Saturday. But I'll go back. Take Saturday out of the equation. I was having this Weaver conversation last week about Devin Williams, and I was saying, They're going to force it because they die hard on their trades and their contracts. They traded for Devin Williams. Oh, he ain't a setup guy. We're going to find an opportunity for him to get those last outs. We're going to find an we're going to make an opportunity. How about we use Luke Weaver back-to-back days so that we line ourselves up to put Devin Williams there? You Yankee fans staying up to watch this game, hold on to your butts. Here he comes. And he almost blew that game. Like, if he would have blown that first game of that Angels series, like, how would Boone have dealt with that? I don't know. What I'll say is, like, Boone's going to have a lot to manage here with losing the closer, with, I mean, hopefully Dominguez is good. He just ices up. But, like, Jazz is coming back. Stanton is coming back. It's going to get a little crowded around here. They're going to have a few things to manage. Pinch hitting, when to lay down a bunt, sending guys on the base pass, who to pitch and what lanes. Riveting. Mitchell in Fort Lee. Mitchell, I was just talking. How's it going?
All right, Keith. What's going on with you, my friend? So I hear you're not going to go tomorrow night. So how about we're going to go Wednesday night?
I don't know. I got to talk to the missus. I got to talk to my wife because...
Okay.
I gotta do daddy duty. I gotta take some nights off from her. But she knows. She knows it's summertime and like my wife met me like this. Like my wife knows I go to the stadium, I go to games. But I think I'm out on the Cleveland series. At least I'm trying to be out for three straight nights. And then Friday I'm not on the fan Friday night. So like it's Red Sox. Like we're gonna turn up Friday night. That's the plan. But that could change. I could maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Friday back-to-back, who knows?
Okay, well, getting now to the Yankees, you know, it's actually unbelievable what Boone does, okay? Here's the reason why. He pitches your closer in a game means absolutely nothing. The Yankees are getting destroyed in L.A. And then he comes up with the injury. Now we lose him 4 to 6 weeks. Now we got to pray that Williams can be what he was last year. If he's not, here goes our 5.5-game lead, and this is another way of Dumbo Boone screws up something for the New York Yankees. And then everyone complains, and I've been the only one for a long time complaining or fighting for, let LeMahieu get healthy and pray that he can be healthy to give us a third baseman that can give us a good defense and give us an extra bat. Well, I might get lucky on this one. I might. I hope we do, because then at least we can put him at second base, we can put him at first, and we can play him at third, and we let him DH and give him a day off. That's what the Yankees need. But now, what are you going to do with the bullpen? What happens if Williams doesn't have it? What are you going to do then?
They're going to mix and match, and they're going to try Mark Leiter Jr. and Fernando Cruz, depending on who's coming up in the lineup. They can't just say Williams is the closer, because we've seen it. The ninth inning, as a Yankee, it does something to him. Like, he can't do it. He hasn't done it. He barely survived.
I agree with you.
He barely survived in Anaheim. So, like, what if that triggers him? What if the pressure comes all back to him? And here comes a homestand, folks. I was on the Fan just a month ago being like, you can't pitch him in Yankee Stadium. The fans hate him.
I know. I know, but here's another thing. You can't put Mark Leiter Jr. in there. That's another one. If that happens, that's going to be worse. He's as frustrating as Williams would be. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Lewandowski is going to be the closer for a few weeks.
The circle of trust is going to get really small. I don't trust Lewandowski. I don't trust Mark Leiter Jr. I don't trust Devin Williams. As far as a closer, like getting the save, like I guess we just got to beat everybody by 4, 5, 6, 7 runs. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. I'll text you. You guys probably have heard Mitchell and Fort Lee call into Sal when he was in the overnight, and then now call into Sal with BT and Sal in the midday. And, you know, Mitchell's got great seats and is a diehard Yankee fan, and in the stadium, I think he's trying to entice me to go. I'm like, I can always go. WFAN provides us with tickets, and I have a credential. I can always get in the stadium. I got to be a dad. I got to prioritize. Because this is buying me some time for later in the month, right? Like, I know the deal. If I put in 3 days in a row, putting my son to bed, bathing him, feeding him, doing story time, bedtime, and give my wife a 3-day break, then I'll be able to go to 3 games straight. There's going to probably be a stretch where I want to go to 3 games straight. And it'll probably be a stretch where it's like, you know, they go somewhere else or Grandma or Yaya comes up. Yeah, we're coming up on, like, this is a good month of June for Yankee Stadium. Mike Trout is back. I see the Angels will be here for a 4-game set. The Orioles, we should absolutely pummel them. That Aaron Judge Superman bobblehead night, yeah, I need that. And then the Oakland A's at the end of the month, like the Yankees, they don't have to go back out west anymore after this. And now, like, we're about to get into the summer flow, the summer vibe. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. So I'm trying to go to the stadium, trying to turn up with y'all, trying to, you know, watch the Yankees win, play Frank, sing Frank, do all that other good stuff. We will. I'm honestly not worried about the Dodgers series. I'm not worried about Boone with the bullpen. I'm not worried about Luke Weaver's injury. The team is too good. And knock on wood, because, like, I don't want them now to go on a bad stretch. You said the team was too good. You're not worried. I'm just not worried about it. It's unfortunate with Luke Weaver, but you do have Devin Williams, so you got to look at the bright side. And the caller I had, I forget his name, but he the first thing he said was, it's his hamstring. It's not an elbow. It's not a shoulder. So he could be back in 4 weeks. But yeah, you need somebody to be the whipping boy. And since you couldn't whip on Volpe for too long, you couldn't even whip on DJ for long because he came back with 4 hits. It's like, back to Boone. Boone, it's Aaron Boone, the manager. See, remember what happened in the World Series? Did you see Tim Hill strike out Freddie Freeman? 888-808-1019. Al's in Newburgh on the Fan. What's up, Al?
Hey, Keith, how you doing? First time, long time, man.
Ding, ding, ding. What's up, man?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I listen to you on my way home from work all the time. I know you're short on time, but a couple things. I just wanted to talk to you about what the last caller said about, you know, all the analytics and everything. I mean, I grew up playing ball. You know, I played semi-pro rookie league, independent league, and we never had, you know, all these wars and this and that, you know, all the analytic people. I mean, if that's the point, then what's the point of having a manager? You know, take that revenue and put it into some good players. You know, if you're going to have somebody run the team from a computer.
You could have an AI, AI screen in the dugout telling you what to do.
Exactly. But also deviating a little bit from that. Boom, switching up the lineup all the time.
I'm sorry, now you're sending me on a tangent, too. They're going to have this ABS system. Then you won't need anybody to argue balls and strikes either, because it's just going to be on the big screen.
I know. It's great. What's the point of having umpires there, too?
Yeah, we can cut those guys out.
But it's a little food for thought. You know the old-time guys, they used to keep the copacetic lineup and let the hitters get comfortable in their roles. Now it's every day. You don't know who's hitting where. You know, Judge is leading off. He's hitting second. Wells is hitting ninth. He's hitting first. I know that probably all ties into the analytics and the pitching that they're going to be facing that day. But it just seems like it doesn't let these guys get comfortable into where they need to be in the batting order. I don't know what your thoughts on that.
Yeah, they performed so well that no one's talking about it. If they struggled, then it'd be like, hey, stop changing the lineup. And I think with the Yankees over the years, we're just accustomed to them changing the lineup. And early on in this year when Boone was changing the lineup, Yankee fans wanted to yell at Boone and say, oh, here comes a Boone lineup, a punt lineup. And then they would hit home runs and score 20 runs. And it's like, well, it's working.
And that's a saving grace. True. Also, one more thing with the Yankees. I know you're short on time. What do you think about a big trade for them to go after Paul Skeens?
I mean, a lot of people have mentioned it. I just don't see the Pirates doing it, but anybody is available for Paul Skeens. Like, he's young. He's not aging. Like, he's not going to not be dominant for a long time. You get Paul Skeens, like, you give up anyway, like, whatever it is you give for that. Thanks for the call. I'm out of calls. That's fine. Yeah, I don't know. At least we were able to shift here. I didn't think there was much of a pain point with the whole thing. And, like, as I looked, I looked at the box score, and I saw everybody that threw. I need the bullpen budget, but I did not read how many pitches. Like, Hedrick threw 20. Hamilton threw 30. Leiter threw 19. De Los Santos, 23. You were just at a point where, like, you got to use who you have and who's up to, who was in the schedule or script of pitching that day and needed to throw and get work. Devin Williams only threw 6 pitches. That's why he was able to go last night and was great. Weaver threw 14. Pablo Reyes threw 18 pitches. I know Dalton Rushing was pumped to see him. I don't know, man. It's just baseball, and you can't predict baseball, and you can't predict what's going to happen when you make those decisions. This is just in hindsight or after the fact. Okay, now Luke Weaver's down, and you're going to question, why did he pitch Saturday? But I would tell you to ask, why did he pitch Sunday against the Rockies, and then Monday was it against the Angels? And I felt like, but I felt like they were setting up Devin Williams to get an opportunity to close, and it's like that was forced. But also, and now I'm thinking back, I think just like when I was talking about Weaver, there were some situations earlier in the season where they didn't go to Weaver, and it's like, all right, stop messing around, get Weaver in there to finish.
It's a long-ass season.
It's a long-ass season, but they clearly weren't worried about burning Weaver out. Like, I've heard them in the past talk about burning out Clay Holmes. They weren't worried about burning out Luke Weaver. And when you look at, I don't know, the frame and the build of Clay Holmes versus Luke Weaver, like, Luke Weaver's a little dude, a little skinny guy. Anyway, he's gone. So, here we go. Little plot twist, little wrinkle here. Last call goes to Ryan and Islip on the Fan. You're in there.
Islip,
Ryan McNasty.
McNasty, the guy. I heard you earlier. You said, the Mets fans, they're not going to listen and tune in. I said, I got to make sure I tune in right before the end and check in on the guy.
They're making it happen right now out in Chavez Ravine.
Oh, don't, I can't even. I make that comment. Who knows what could happen here on out. But anyway, man, the GOAT. I love when you have your KM to AM. I love when you have the Sunday sauce. It really just, I listen around the clock, but there's nothing like it. To close out, I know you don't have much time. I wanted to keep it off the Knicks, keep it off the Mets, the Yankees. This is a good one. I'm a Knicks fan, but in your own opinion, if you had the target, you got these picks with the Nets, you got all this going on. If you had three people, three players, three trade targets, three free agents that you might be looking into scooping up for the Nets, who are you looking at? I'll hang up and listen. You're the GOAT. I appreciate you, man.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it. I don't want any of these guys for the Nets. I want them to draft their own guys. I don't want Giannis. I don't want Trae Young. I don't want any of these dudes. I want Nets. I want the Nets to draft and develop their own players and have a deep team of homegrown, scouted players under Jordy Fernandez that came up under him. And if it takes 5 years, so be it. Because if it's 5 years to build it and then 5 years of sustained winning and competition, I can get jiggy with that. Stop trying to cut the line. Stop trying to make a shortcut. You don't need to compete with the Knicks. You literally can't. Do not make a knee-jerk reaction to think, oh, the Knicks have taken the city back. They always had the city, bro. Don't try and get somebody to compete with the Knicks. Run your own pace at your race. All right, I'm out of here. Big Mac is coming up next. Call him about Aaron Boone. It'll be funny. Do that. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.